The Psalms, Psalm 142. Actually, Psalm 143, sorry. This week has been a rather sad week as far as in our culture, in our world. I don't know. I don't know how many I counted throughout this week, but many, many people, many well-known celebrities, well-known stars took their own life. Suicide. We do know that the number one cause of suicide is untreated depression. You know, as a preacher of the gospel, I've come across a lot. I've heard a lot of different things. I've heard a lot of different preachers and their opinions as to mental illness. But I will tell you, in the context of suicide, the topic of suicide, is something that as a church, we've got to be intentional to talk about. One thing I do know is that even though a person has Christ as their Savior, even though a person loves Jesus with all their heart, some of folks even like that can battle with suicidal thought, can battle with depression. Let me just speak. Let me just say something from the bottom of my heart. God still loves you. He still loves you. He still cares about you. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you have no idea that may be the case. Preacher, you have no idea how I struggle. You have no idea how bad it sometimes gets. That may be the case. But I can tell you, and I won't go into my whole story, but I can tell you, I've been there. I've been dark. I've been in deep darkness. Several years ago, battled that. And I'm here to tell you, I'm grateful to God that the Lord Jesus Christ, He can help you, and He can get you through it, and He can help you through it. If you're sitting in this room today, if you're in this sanctuary, if you're watching the internet, please understand that the feelings and the thoughts that you may be having right now, they will pass. Please reach out to someone, talk to family, talk to friends, talk to people that you trust that are safe. Don't allow yourself to succumb to all the negative thoughts, all the different things that are going on. We see from Kate Spade, who took her life, the cook, what's his name? Anthony, were they? Yeah. And you see, you look at us, I remember hearing an interview, I think it was his mother or somebody in his family said that of all people, he would have never done something like that. He had everything. He had money. He had fame. He had fortune. He had it all. He was living a dream, traveling all over the world. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, we know, and you and I both know, that depression, it doesn't play favorites. I mean, depression can hit anybody. And one of the things that we are seeing, one of the things that we have noticed, is that it's a lot of folks, they said of Kate Spade that she had been battling depression for years. One of her family members said she battled it for years, but she would never come out and say that she had it because she was worried about the stigma of what people would think and what it would do perhaps to her brand. Untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide, they say. They said there's been a huge increase from 1999 until now, or from 1999, they did a study to, I think, 2016, I think, was a study which had it in front of me. But nonetheless, it was a huge increase in suicide. Why is that? You say, "Yeah, but Pastor, you have to also understand, I got saved when I was 16. I'm 46 now. 30 years ago, it was not uncommon to hear preachers say things like, "Oh, if you have Jesus, if you have Jesus, you have all that you need." Listen, you're right. Yes, I have Christ, and He is all that I need. But I also would hear preachers say, "You don't need to be going to psychiatrists and psychologists, and you don't need to be on this medication to help you." Listen, friend, you got to understand something. Here's where I'm at. Leave the doctoring to the doctors. Leave the doctoring to the doctors. And here's what I also understand. We also know, and here's something I want you to grab a hold of, and I pray to God you hear this statement, if you hear nothing else. If you're battling depression in this room or watching by internet, or you know of a family member that is in deep depression right now, it's not something, chances are, it isn't something that you're going to pray your way out of. It isn't something you're going to read your way out of. I'm talking about deep depression. There are a lot of causes for depression. We know that. There's a lot of causes. And we also know, sometimes chemically, sometimes hormonally. One of the first things that I do, you can ask my wife this, one of the very first things that we do, anybody comes through my office for counseling, regardless of the type, I'm not a licensed counselor. I just have, you know, quite a few years of ministry under my belt. A lot of study, a lot of classes under my belt, but I tell them right away, I'm not a licensed counselor. But if they come off and they say, I'm depressed, first thing I tell them, first thing we, Les and I both say to them, when's the last time you had a physical? Physical? Yeah, because there's a possibility your depression can be caused from your health, from hormonal changes or what have you. Things in the brain, the different levels in the brain, serotonin levels. You say, preacher, why are you telling us all this? Because, ladies and gentlemen, suicide, I've been here 15 and a half years. In my tenure as your pastor in 15 and a half years, we've had two people take their life. Two people associated with our church took their life. My prayer to God is it never happens again. My prayer to God is it never happens again, and that we are intentional to speak into it. And intentional. Now, for those that say, yeah, but pastor, you know, I mean, come on, we have Jesus. He's enough, right? I mean, now let me also say this. To the family members, loved ones and family members of those that are battling depression right now, one of the worst things you can do, I sweat like a pig, don't pay no attention to me. One of the worst things that you can do is to tell your loved ones, you'll say things, just get over it. Don't do that. Encourage them to go to the doctor. Encourage them to go to a psychologist. You say, I'm scared to go to a psychiatrist. They're going to mess up my, listen, if they're skilled, if they're trained, they have the skill set to be able to walk you through, to be able to give you some things that will help you and to walk through it and go through that. And again, I'm just saying, because it's something that we have to talk about. It's something, it's the elephant in the room that we've got to discuss, we've got to talk about it. You say, yeah, but preacher, I mean, the local church, I mean, come on, preacher. In the local church, I mean, we're all perfect, right? Oh, wow. Are you serious? We're a hospital for hurting people. That's all we are. Just to confirm. Hang on a minute. Let me talk to Siri for a minute. Just to confirm. Oh, my goodness. It's one of those days. We're going to speak into it. In Psalm 143, if you found your place in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word, please stand. Here's one thing I do know. One thing I do know is in Scripture, there are many people in Scripture that suffered depression. Many people in Scripture. You see Elijah, you see David, the list goes on and on. So my point is, if you're battling it, you're not alone. Please know that. Now, one of the things that the devil wants you to think, that you're the only one. The devil wants you to think that no one would understand. The devil wants you to think that you're a bother. All of those are lies. All those thoughts are lies. All those thoughts are delusion. You're loved. People care about you. People love you. You say, "Oh, preacher, yeah, but I'm just overwhelmed right now." Well, we're going to talk about that today. Overwhelmed. The Bible says in Psalm 143, David writes, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness. Look at that word. He had made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. What's David saying? David's saying, hey, I feel like I'm dead on the inside. See, that's what happens when you get depressed. Deep depression. Suicidal thought. You feel like sometimes you're dead on the inside. Therefore, verse 4, is my spirit overwhelmed? There it is. Within me. My heart within me is desolate. Who's writing this? David. Now again, what do we know about David? The Bible says God's assessment of David was this. He was a man after God's own heart. So it isn't just somebody writing this. This is the Bible, is a man after God's own heart is writing this, and he is absolutely depressed, discouraged, overwhelmed, feels like his soul is desolate, feels like he's in dark places. Verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask your blessing in the reading of your word. We pray, dear Lord, that what is said and done today will encourage those in this room, those watching the internet. God, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. But Lord Jesus, I know that in a room this large, in an internet, Lord, who we know people watch sometimes all over the world, God, there may be some, there may be one, there may be more, Lord, who are battling depression. There may be those, Lord, that seem hopeless. There may be those, Lord, that seem life is dark and there's no hope. Lord Jesus, I pray and I beg you to speak encouragement into their heart. Speak encouragement into their soul, Lord. Use a family member, a friend, to walk into their darkness and help them. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Even this week, my wife and my mother-in-law, when they went to Antioch Baptist, was close to a lady that had a dear friend. Just this past week, her husband kills her, turns a gun on himself, murder, suicide. I don't know how many years ago now, I preached the funeral. Actually, it was three funerals at one time. It was a double homicide and a suicide. A dad shot his son, shot his wife, turned a gun on himself. I mean, the list goes on and on. I saw yesterday, this past Friday, a former, I don't even remember the name, but just happened to see in kind of the Fox News thing. It was a former wrestler. Shoots and kills his spouse, then turns a gun on himself. Murder, suicide. When I was younger, Brother Bobby Lakes, I think it was Pastor Lakes, he had a member of his church. Take her own life. Suicide is something we have to talk about. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, if we talk about it, then that's going to push people to suicide. You know that's a myth, right? Just because you talk about it to someone, that does not ever. That has nothing to do if that's going to push them over the edge. So we got to dispel some myths, and we're going to hopefully do that next couple of weeks. We got to speak into it. We got to talk about it. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, if we have Jesus, shouldn't we be stronger? Well, here's the only problem, friend. When I look in my Bible, you know what Jesus says of us? We're dust. Jesus says of us, we're frail. That's what God says. And when I look in Scripture and I see men like David, who the Bible declares, God said he was a man after God's own heart, and yet David now is saying, look at his language. Look at this now. His language is, he's overwhelmed, verse 4. He says his heart within him is desolate. Wait a minute, a man after God's own heart, his heart is desolate now? He says in verse 3, he says in verse 3, he said, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. Literally, what he's saying there, he's smitten my life down to the ground. He's literally saying, I'm crushed. That's what he's saying. I'm crushed. Ever get to the point in your life where, and I know those who battle depression, sometimes don't even want to get out of bed. Sometimes don't even want to get out of their house. You say, preacher, come on. People like that are weak, no? We also know, you do know this, right? Let me encourage you today. You know you cannot outrun your genes. You know that, right? If there's history of depression in your family, for example, if your mother had it, just your mother, you have a 50% chance of getting it. If your father had it and your mom had it, you have a higher risk of getting it. You say, preacher, yeah, but I thought I was stronger than that. It has nothing to do with your strength. It often has a lot to do heredity, as far as hereditary. It has a lot to do with your chemical makeup. It has a lot to do, here's what we do know, it has a lot to do with trauma. Trauma. Trauma in your childhood. Trauma in your as far as in your adulthood. What do we do with our trauma? You've heard me say this. We bury it, right? When we're children, we know this. We know that psychologists and psychiatrists agree. When we're children, we bury trauma as a means of survival. Because if we didn't, we would succumb to it. So, you know, it's kind of a defense mechanism. So we bury it so that, you know, so it doesn't consume us, so that we can function and we can survive. The problem is, as we get older, that trauma that we buried, we never buried it dead. We buried it alive, and it will resurrect. And when it resurrects, it comes out with a vengeance. But here's the difference. When we're a child, those traumatic events we bury to survive. When we're adults and those traumatic events resurface and they resurrect, here's what you got to get a hold of. Now that you're an adult, with help, care, with help as far as friends and therapists, you can then reframe all of that so it doesn't consume your life. You say, preacher, I just feel like there's never any hope. That's what the devil wants you to feel. One of the things that we know as far as in the context of depression and those who choose to take their life, they choose to take their life often because they've got to the point of their life, they absolutely have no hope at all. And when they feel that there's no hope at all, they feel like life is not worth living. And you got to look at it as well. Some of the ones that we know that have had taken their life, I mean, Robin Williams. Robin Williams was one of the most funniest humans on the face of the planet. Took his life. Ray Combs, going back a few years now. Ray Combs was a comedian. Used to do Family Feud. After the Kissing Bandit retired, he took over. I'm dating myself. Had a comedy club down in Cincinnati. He took his life. What's the point, preacher? The point is, you may see people and you may think, man, everything's okay because they're laughing, they're smiling. Only to realize what was going on deep down inside them, you had no idea. And there are folks in this room today that your loved one took their life. And you're battling and you're struggling now because you're like, preacher, I just wish there was something I could have done. Let me speak into this for a minute. You didn't cause this. They chose to do that. They chose to take their life. But the prayer is that we use their story in a positive light to hopefully, prayerfully save somebody else. The young man who they just found his body, they think he perhaps killed himself. I mean, it's epidemic. It's absolutely epidemic. David, so we see, what do we do? What do we do when we're overwhelmed? What do we do when we're struggling? Now, we know contextually in this story that we've read here this morning, we know that David, he's the king of Israel. His son Absalom has, you know, trying to take over his kingdom. He's trying to have David killed. I mean, you know, you can imagine the anguish of having a wayward son. Now imagine having a wayward son who's trying to kill you, who's trying to take your kingdom over. It is absolutely discouraging to David. It's heart-wrenching to David. He has gotten what's often referred to as a soul wound, a wound so deep it goes beyond the emotional, it goes beyond perhaps even the physical. It's a deeper than that. It's a soul wound. I know sometimes depression can be caused when some that are closest to us hurt us. Some that are closest to us say things or do things that we never thought they could. Some that are closest to us. The trigger in my life, you know the story, not to bore you. The trigger in my life was from September 20th, 2013, when one of my best friends, who was a pastor, killed three people, murdered three people. I happened to be the one that spoke to him the night of the day of the murders. Spills his guts to me. I slept on that for about 3 days. What should I do with it? Spoke with Lieutenant Collegio at the time, who stopped by the church one night, and I said, let me tell you a story. I said, I don't know if I've got tunnel vision. I don't know what's going on. I said, but let me tell you the story, and you tell me what I need to do with it. Of course, I told him the story. He from his professional opinion as a lieutenant for the police department, he said, Pastor, first thing in the morning, call and speak to the lead detective in Danville, Kentucky. So I did that. And you know the story, not to bore you. Literally, Memorial Day, Friday of 2017, he pled guilty to all charges. He was sentenced to three life sentences without the possibility of parole. He was facing the death penalty. I mean, on and on and on and on. And that was a trigger. And man, I got deep. It got depressed. Got hard. And David, we see in this text, what do you do? What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Well, first of all, you have to assess where you are. You have to write then. You have to assess where you are, where you are, where you are at that moment in your life. We see in the context of David. So what does he do? He assesses where he's at, and he begins to really speak in and to cry out to God, and he begins to tell God what God is. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. And David begins to cry out. He says in verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, look at this, in thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. So he has adoration of God. We see confession in verse 3, verse 2 through 4. We see thanksgiving in verse 5. We see supplication in verses 6 through 12. He's aware, David is aware, that it is upon God's righteousness and what he has done that he can expect God to answer. He's in a dark place. He assesses where he's at. You know, one of the things that we can do, and I don't know who this is for. I'm telling you, God's just arrested me with this. I really have been for a couple days now. I was going a different direction, but I really felt like I needed to speak into this. David begins to see who he knows who God is. You know, one of the things that happens when a person gets really depressed is their thought life becomes delusional. It really does. That's not, I'm not here to talk bad about you. We get what's often I call, and I've heard others refer to it as, we start having stinking thinking, right? Stinking thinking. Well, we start thinking, oh, that person doesn't love me, that person doesn't care, that person this, and oh, I'm a bother to them. But as we'll see, it's delusional thinking. So David then, to combat that, he begins to tell God who he is, and he begins to rest in and take courage in the characteristics of God. He's in a dark place. In verse 3, it's also, he says at the end of verse 3, as those that have been long dead. Speaks of dead, buried, forgotten, robbed of life. Speaks of one who feels abandoned by man and God. Wow. People often with depression, that's the way they feel. What can he do? He assesses where he's at. But he sees now, we see in this text, we see his desire to live again. His desire to live again. Look at verse 5. He says, I remember the days of old. Now, what has he just said in the first four verses? He's crushed, right? He's in a dark place. He feels dead on the inside. He's cried out to God. He's acknowledged God's faithfulness. He's acknowledged God's, you know, righteousness. He's acknowledged that God is a God that will hear. You see, what is David doing? He's speaking truth into his life. That's so important. When you go through depression, you've got to stop and really, really do, really understand that feelings at best are very unstable. And what you're feeling right now, it's going to pass, but you don't think it will. See, that's the double-edged sword. Because our feelings are so strong, and as one writer said, one of the hardest things about feelings is they can be felt. And when our body feels something, then our mind says, because of my body feels it, then it must be true. The problem is, they're not true. So David begins to cry out to God, and he says, okay, I've cried out to God. I've told God that he's faithful. I've told God that he's righteous. I've acknowledged, God, that I'm dead on the inside. I've acknowledged that I'm crushed. I've acknowledged that I'm just in a dark place. So what do? I remember. See, one of the things that will help you if you're depressed, you're discouraged, you're depressed, almost to the brink. Say, preacher, when you were going through that, did you have suicidal thought? Yes, I did. I imagine the world, what it would be like if I wasn't here. And I often joke about this. I imagine my wife's next husband driving my truck, and that kept me from doing it. I'm joking, of course. But you begin to get delusional in your thinking. You begin to process and think to yourself, I don't matter. I don't matter to anyone. You begin to, when somebody says they love you, you begin to, they don't really mean it. Oh, call anytime. You're never a bother. You begin to say, oh, wow, I know I'm a bother to them. No, friend, you're not. They love you. They care about you. You've got more people that love and care about you than you even realize. He says in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse, verse 5, ponder on the work of thy hands. What do you do when you get this low? You need to remember some things. When I was in my deepest, I said to my wife, I said, I don't think Jeff Fain or Andy Darty loves me anymore. These are my two best friends in the world. But then I'm telling you, God is my witness. I began to hopefully try to dispel the feelings that I was feeling at the moment, to then ground myself in facts. So I started remembering. I started remembering that when I was 16 years old, I'd only been saved for about 4 months. 4 months. My grandpa died. And I remember going to Jeff Fain in his apartment, crying like a baby. And Jeff loving me and encouraging me and walking through that valley with me. I remember my grandmother passed away. Cameron was about a year old, so it's 18 years ago. Guess who was there? Jeff Fain, Andy Darty. People that love me, people that speak encouragement, people that speak truth into my life. I intentionally forced myself to reach out to them and call them and told them what I was feeling. And they spoke truth into me. They said, hey man, we'll be up there tomorrow. Brother Andy, and even Jeff, during that time, we'd meet, we'd go fishing. Could care less about the fishing. I just need somebody to speak truth into my life. I'm saying this, and I don't know why, but I'm just telling you, it was low. It was very low. But God, through the Lord, through God's Word, through friends, through Emmanuel Baptist, through Brother Tommy Noel, some of these other, my deacon staff, there's many hours, but Tommy and I were driving a truck. I'd cry like a baby because Tommy was driving. He scares me to death when he drives. No, I'm just kidding. That's what we do. You see, that's what we do. When we get too heavy, we throw a joke in there, man. It kind of brings it, okay. And he would just speak into my life, speak encouragement, speak truth into my life. You need that. You need people that love you so much that they're going to tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. So David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate. I remember, I meditate, I ponder. Look at that. Those are three words. I remember, I meditate, muse is the word ponder. So we're going to substitute ponder. I meditate. I remember, first of all. I meditate. Meditate means to ponder, if you will, by talking to yourself. So you have biblical reason to talk to yourself. It doesn't mean you're crazy. It doesn't. Now, some of you are, but it doesn't mean you are. Verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. David says, I'm dry. I'm spiritually dry. Lord Jesus, I need you. One of the things that happens when you get so depressed like that, it affects every area of your life. It affects you physically. It affects you emotionally. It affects you spiritually. It affects your relationships. It affects your friendships. It affects every area of your life. And often, what we have to do is we have to remember. Again, and again, if you're here and you're battling depression, go to your doctor. Please go to your doctor. Have them run some levels. Have them run some blood levels. Have them run some hormonal levels. With women, we know often thyroid issues can cause a lot of depression. With men, testosterone levels can cause depression if they're messed up. There's so many, and I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a doctor, but I know in the sense of my own personal life and pastoring a lot over the years and folks that have battled depression. We end by simply reminding us, when you get low, when you get depressed, remember who God is. Remember the facts about God, not what you're feeling at the moment, but remember the facts about God. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's a forgiving God. He's a God that loves us unconditionally. Is that facts of God? Those are facts, right? We remember the facts, not the feelings of what we're feeling at the moment. Because at the moment, you may feel abandoned by Him. At the moment, you may feel let down by Him. At the moment, you may feel like He doesn't care. But you got to go by facts. Wait a minute. No, He's faithful. He's forgiving. He's loving. And oh, He not only loves me, He loves me unconditionally. He's merciful. Matter of fact, the Bible says, the facts of God's Word say, His mercies are renewed every morning. You got to go by facts. Remember, meditate. Means to ponder by talking to yourself. Chew on like a cow chews its cud. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. One thing about my sermons is they're very, very deep application, right? A cow chewing its cud. He regurgitates it. He chews on it. That's often what we have to do. For example, a verse that God gave me when I was going through a low moment was, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In that whole situation I was involved in, I had ATF agents in my office. That'll bless you. I was out of state. ATF agents would come through my church parking lot. They'd watch my house. I preached revival for Jeff Fain 3 days after Alan's arrest. We were under 24-hour protection. We had undercover agents in our hotel. We had state police. We had city police. We had county police. When we would pull out, we'd cross from one city into another. Another police officers would pick up, and they'd follow us, get to the church. Preach during the service. A state trooper would often sit in the sanctuary. Jeff was so excited. He's like, man, the state trooper came to revival meeting. I'm like, yeah, you don't. Yeah, it's great, ain't it? And then I had to tell him why. And the whole time, I'm thinking, these hands are made to hold a Bible. I'm just a preacher. I'm just a preacher. So many. And again, that was the trigger for me. There was a lot of things led up to that, but that was the final straw. That was the final trigger. I don't know what your triggers are. We know psychologically there's a lot of triggers and can be. Smells, thought, things we hear, touch, so many different triggers that can trigger this depression. There's help. Don't suffer in silence. Please do not suffer in silence. I'll say this to you. I have a cell phone. You can text or call anytime. You could reach me through Facebook. You can reach me through Instagram. You can reach me through cell phone. You can reach me through the office. I have a secretary here Monday through Friday. Don't suffer in silence. Say, Pastor, I need to call you because I'm there. Please do. I promise you, I can recommend phenomenal psychologists. I can recommend phenomenal psychiatrists. I can recommend Christian counselors. I promise you, we can get you help. Don't suffer in silence. Please do not take your life. Please don't do that. I've preached many, many funerals of suicides, successful suicides. I don't want to have to preach another one. The Lord loves you. Remember that. The Lord, fact, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. Fact, he died for you. Fact, he was buried for you. Fact, he rose again. And if you're here today and do not know Jesus, if you'll ask God to forgive you of your sin and by faith trust Christ as your Savior, believing in that gospel message, he'll save you. He'll change your life. That's fact. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Service went a little different direction today. If you're hearing the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to respond. I'll give you an opportunity to do that. What's the number, Brother Ryan? 318? 382, excuse me. 382. You come as we sing. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you for sticking around. Good crowd. Thank